The new novel, Emily and Herman, is a romantic account of Emily Dickinson and Herman Melville's relationship. In the book, it is the summer of 1851. Herman Melville was finishing Moby Dick on his family farm in the Berkshire Hills of western Massachusetts. Surrounded by his mother, sisters, and pregnant wife, it was a calm and productive season until his neighbor, Nathaniel Hawthorne, lured him to Amherst. There they met 20-year-old Emily Dickinson and her brother Austin. On a whim, the two distinguished authors invited the Dickinson siblings to accompany them on a trip to Boston and New York. In Manhattan, they met journalist Walt Whitman and William Johnson, a runaway slave, and it was there, despite their efforts to control it, that Emily and Herman fell in love. All of this in the novel Emily and Herman, a literary romance, and it's a pleasure to welcome John Healy to the program this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
I'm very grateful for the opportunity, Joe.
Well, thank you very much. The story of how this all came about is a book in and of itself. How did you come to this particular topic?
Well, I'm a New York, New Englander man. I was born in the Bronx, lived in New York City more just about half of my life, and I've spent a lot of time away from New England. And I consider myself a literate person, and two stars in my own personal pantheon have always been Dickinson and Melville. And when I read, I finally got to read Don Quixote by Cervantes in its original 2 years ago, I was just struck by the beauty with which Cervantes mixes fact with fiction. And I had this thought, you know, here are these two extraordinary artists I cared so much about, Melville and Dickinson, who lived so near to each other during such key parts of their lives, and who, from what I have read in their biographies, didn't have the most enthralling romantic lives. And it just kind of took off from there. It was a kind of a what-if proposition and something I just would have loved to have happened, you know.
Talk a little bit about the found manuscript aspect of this.
That all came about because some of the early readers that my agent sent it to, just to kind of get some feedback, a lot of people had trouble, it's curious, a lot of people had trouble with the idea of believing that the Emily Dickinson they had in their head would have done such a thing. You know, there's a standardized view of Emily Dickinson was like. It's probably more or less realistic, but it's about an Emily Dickinson when she was in her late 30s and into her 40s. I chose this date very specifically because she was much younger and considerably less neurotic at that time. But people just couldn't kind of connect the dots. And so I had to figure out a way to sort of preamble to the book to explain why I chose this date, how old they were, how this very well could have happened under the circumstances. And so that led to, just rather than just write a typical introduction saying all that, I came up with the idea of the found manuscript. Just makes it a little bit more amusing.
And it gets to bring yourself into the story as well as your...
Yeah.
As your family. Was your grandfather really a professor at Amherst?
No, he wasn't. He was a Supreme Court justice in New York State.
There you go. So no. quite a different
yeah. And actually the fellow who I chose just out of one of my uncles was Vincent Paul Healy. He was an admiral in the Navy, but a poor fellow died about 10 years ago. I chose him because of all of my uncles, he was the most literate, and I had a particular affection for him.
So you set it up, and you look at these two characters, and then obviously it gives you, as you stated at the beginning, gives you an opportunity to explore these two characters. I don't want to read too much into this, but there is the subtitle is a literary romance. And so was that sort of always in the corner of your mind of what you wanted to fashion this as?
No, I just wanted to write, I'm not even that interested in historical fiction per se. I wanted to, once I had the proposition of these two heroes of mine actually falling in love and having a relationship. I wanted to try and make that as romantic and charming and as realistic as possible, so it just wouldn't, you know, be ridiculous. And so I ended up doing a lot of research. I wanted to make all of the details and the people they were with and what was going on at the time as realistic as possible, so that you could really, I think, enjoy the love story more with a more relaxed attitude.
Why do you think, and you talked about setting it up in the early
reading. Not only was it strange, you know, Hawthorne and Melville actually were good friends, and they did live close to each other for a couple of years. Emily Dickinson, nobody knew anything about her. She was 20, she lived about a half an hour away. Walt Whitman, who people did know a little bit about, the exact same age as Melville, never met any of these people. And I just thought, you know, it's just such a shame.
Yeah. When you take a look at these lives of Herman Melville and Emily Dickinson, it is obviously a lot has been written about them. And what did you want to know going in? The research for this was, I assume, somewhat specific of what you wanted to know.
Well, what I wanted to know enough so that when I began to write it, it wouldn't be embarrassing, frankly. So I read all of their most pertinent biographies, took a lot of notes, and then I put the biographies away and I made a decision not to look at them again. And I just started writing. And, you know, as you think sometimes do when you get a little bit lucky, it kind of ended up writing itself. I mean, as processes go of writing a novel, this particular project went easily, but once the flow got going, it just kept right on going until I finished.
And what you wanted, I mean, basically you're just taking two very famous characters and playing with them in a way and saying, okay, this is what would happen here and this is what could happen there.
Well, you know, I think.
But you want there to be plausibility, obviously.
Yeah, and you know, these two people have become icons, and rightly so. But, and I think, you know, especially in the times we're living in, I think a lot of people, in fact, I hate to say this, but you know, talk about them when they do talk about them without probably having read a lot of what these two people have actually written, and this icon status. Has a lot of difficulties attached to it. And so my intent, and I hope I succeeded, is to humanize them and make them much more accessible to a contemporary public, you know. And I tried to make the book as, you know, Nabokov, this wonderful article in the New York Review of Books this month, in which apparently Nabokov used to say to all of his students at Cornell, authors of fiction have one and only one purpose, which is to enchant the reader. So that was my goal, was to enchant my reader, but also to make these two people human, and it also gave me a chance to discuss, you know, different issues that were very much in the air in those days and still are. So, you know, religion and racism and gender issues, all those things.
And not to downplay your craft in any way, shape, or form, but the two characters you have here are enchanting. I mean, they're of
yes,
the
they
utmost
are.
Of interest. So just the basics that we have going in and reading this novel, it's, you know, you sort of had us at the beginning because these are two fascinating people.
Let's hope so.
Well, well, they are, right? I mean, they are what we know of them,
and what they have put out
into the world, in a literary sense, in a creative sense, has been amazing.
Yeah, you know, I mean, a lot more is known about Melville. The Herschel Parker biography is almost insanely complete in terms of what he did almost every day of his life. Emily Dickinson, obviously, is a much bigger mystery, and so she gives a lot more leeway to people to spin their own theories and read their own issues into her. But what's out there, you know, like the Belle of Amherst, this play that was written about her,
right,
which I don't think is terribly good. It gives you a kind of one particular view of her. I won't get into the sort of the very well done academic studies that keep on coming out about her. But even if you go to the Dickinson Homestead in Amherst, the description they give you there, very nice people run it, it's a lovely place, but they give, again, a very sort of stereotypical version of what this woman was like. She comes out sounding a sort of like a baking, you know, recluse who'd like to bake for her family, kind of. And I just wanted to get her out of that because, you know, I think she's been treated with way too carefully, too much sentimentality, overprotected. And she was a really tough, original, extraordinarily intelligent and vibrant woman. And I wanted to, you know, get that on the page.
As you said, there's more written about Melville than there was about Dickinson. And you note that because there are some misconceptions and not a lot is known about Dickinson, is that almost more freeing in the sense of writing something like this?
Sure.
Because you can fill in the blanks. There's more blanks to fill in.
Yeah, and you know, the period makes it easier too. If I couldn't do the same thing, or it would be much trickier and a little bit silly to do the same kind of a thing about two people who were much, you know, in a much more recent past. I mean, really, the truth is, I think 90%, I mean, if you're not in graduate school or teaching graduate school, 90% of the American public don't really know a lot about these two. They recognize the names and they know they were, you know, from New England, and one was Moby Dick, and the other one was an eccentric, extraordinary poet. That's all people really know.
Right.
And so that is a little sad. It's also, it was helpful to me.
It is, it's also fascinating just in reading the book of realizing what a treasure we have here in Western Massachusetts of what,
absolutely,
what came out of that region. It's amazing.
Just extraordinary. You know, and I was just, one thing I kicked myself the other day when there's a new book that's come out, excuse me, a biography about Margaret Fuller, who,
yes, I just had that,
was
the author on, actually, yes.
I missed her. I don't know how, but I missed her. And it would have been I could have laid her right into the text in a particular way, and it would have been a nice touch. I feel bad about that.
Well,
but all these people were amazing, and they all lived really in a very small radius.
It is it's a fascinating book. It's Emily and Herman, a Literary Romance. It's published by Arcade. John Healy, a pleasure. Thank you very much for being with us, and continued good luck.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.